up your frozen dinners, grab your TV tray, and settle in for another episode of the Plus Platoon, your podcast for all things Disney Plus, brought to you by Disney Plus fans. Watch along with us every week as we cover all the new, the old, the good, and the bad on Disney Plus. So put down that remote, don't touch that dial, and welcome your fabulous Plus Platoon host.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Plus Platoon. We're a Disney Plus fan podcast that gives honest, spoiler-filled reviews of movies and shows on Disney Plus. We'll look at new releases, coming attractions, and we'll even go back into the vault to revisit some of the classic Disney that's on the platform. Make sure you're subscribed and you will never miss a moment. I'm going to bring in Kate. Kate, good to see you this evening.
I'm so excited for this episode. I'm dreading this episode. I'm so excited for this episode. I can't believe we're doing this episode.
And next, we've got, wow, okay, apparently we have Kate and Kate with us. So, Pete, how are you doing this evening?
I can't top that, but I brought my little Pascal, who's going to join me for the episode, so he's going to sit right here on the mic.
Okay. And Steve, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Kate totally channels a over-hyper fourth, fifth grade girl.
You're welcome.
About that time cycle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, guys, if you're not already, please like, subscribe, share. We've got some fun shows coming up and hope you want to be a part of them. So, this week, it is the 15th anniversary of Tangled, which, I mean, even she was around for it.
That's just rude.
We're starting to get movies where my son was actually alive when they came out. Now he was two, but so that's kind of a time frame where it's one of those, So since he was two, I did not see this in the theaters when it first came out. I'm guessing, Kate, did any of the three of you happen to see this in the theaters?
I saw it for the first time in its entire length just a few days ago.
Wow. I definitely saw this in the theater. My daughter was 7 or 8 at the time and was the perfect age for this movie. So yeah, 100% we saw this in the theaters and also on DVD many, many times.
I did not see this in theaters, but this came out, I just looked it up, November 24th of 2010. And I moved to Orlando to work for Disney January 17th of 2011. So I did not see this in theaters. I was introduced to this when I started working for the company.
Okay, that's fair. So tells the story of Rapunzel with her, the guy who kidnapped her mother, Gothel. We've got Flynn Rider, who is the main male character. I can't call him the hero or the good guy. I just can't. The main male character who's a thief. You've got Pascal, as Pete said, the little chameleon. You've got Maximus, who is the horse from the guards. You've got Brad Garrett and his army of knights who say knee, for lack of a better term. And so,
Stabbington brothers.
Yes, and the Stabbington brothers. My first question for you is this. Was the story strong enough for a feature movie? Movie is, I believe, it's almost 2 hours long from what I remember. It's 1:40. So it's longer than the typical Disney animated movie. But is the story strong enough for a featured movie? As the defender of the faith, Kate gets to go last. So Pete, I'm going to let you go.
Well, I'm going to say yes. I think this worked as a movie. They found a way. The normal Rapunzel story is not really that interesting, but they found a way to make it interesting with her escaping from the tower to see the lantern. She doesn't know they're related to her, her birthday or any kind of rescue thing. And so I think they were able to bring a plot to the story of Rapunzel that was sufficient to make an interesting Disney movie. I mean, it's definitely a typical modern princess movie, for sure. Everybody knows why the name is called Tangled, right?
Because of her hair?
No. Why it's not called Rapunzel?
Oh.
Actually, go.
No, is it not called Rapunzel?
Before this was The Princess and the Frog, and The Princess and the Frog bombed, and a lot of the reason they think The Princess and the Frog bombed is because it was called The Princess and the Frog. So they changed the name of this movie, which was going to be Rapunzel, to Tangled, and subsequently, also the reason we have Frozen instead of the Snow Queen or whatever you would have called it. But yeah, so they kind of didn't market it as necessarily just a princess movie, but it's definitely the traditional princess movie, kind of, again, with a little more, if you go back to the early ones where they were more damsels in distress, you know, the character itself has more of their own, what do you call it, their own ambition and, you know, sense of purpose and everything. But what about you, Steve? What do you think?
I agree. I feel like it held my interest. I mean, I actually didn't fall asleep because I've watched it, tried to watch it before when I was dead tired and just couldn't stay awake. And I like that you're mentioning the princess thing of when Flynn Rider was doing his smolder thing, it was having no effect, which I found totally hilarious. He's putting on the charm and she's like, what? Yeah. So it was enjoyable. It was definitely not the quality of Drek 2, new VCR quality. I know that dates myself.
Yeah.
Direct to tape. Yeah.
Yeah. Direct to tape.
I struggled with this one, to be perfectly honest.
Really?
It got long. There would have been an easy 10 minutes they could have cut. Just with her being from the chase scenes, could have cut some. You could have cut some from, honestly, you could have cut some for her interactions with her and Mother Gothel. I mean, just got, especially the reprise, and we'll get to the music here in a little bit, but especially the reprise of the Rapunzel Knows Best song. Yeah. So, I mean, for a feature movie, yes, I think there was a strong enough story. For a 100-minute feature movie, I'm not so sure. I think this would have been a stronger movie at 80 minutes instead of 100 for me. But, okay, so Kate, tell me why I'm wrong.
No, I don't think you're wrong. I do think that there are parts that could be shortened and tightened up. However, this is absolutely a strong enough story for a feature movie. The music is great. I love a good movie when the main characters aren't what holds the movie, that the side characters and the rest of the cast also amplify it. And I feel like that is very prevalent in this. I just used the word prevalent, you guys. Maybe it's on really
nice.
This for a long time was the movie that I would fall asleep to. So Steve, it also doesn't, when you're like, I watched it when I was dead tired, I was like, yeah, this is a good one because it puts you to sleep and you don't have to worry about like waking up to like really, really bad, scary things. And I think Mother Gothel is a fabulous villain. She's terrifying in the same type of way. Like the part when there are just so many subtle things in this movie that are so good. Like the part when she's talking, oh God, what she's saying. She says something and she's looking at Rapunzel, but she's not actually looking at Rapunzel. She's looking at Rapunzel's hair. And she says something like, I would do anything for you. I can't remember the exact line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, she's not looking at Rapunzel. She's looking at what Rapunzel's hair does for her.
And Kate, I'm going to let this lead us then into our next question of, is Mother Gothel a good Disney villain? And so you're arguing yes.
I think she's a good, yeah, I think she has layers. And I think to any good villain, you have to have some layers. But I think that the layers are subtle. Like, if you're just watching this movie, you may not have caught what I just said. That, God, I wish I could remember what, because there's a very iconic line that she says, and I can't think of it.
But all her interactions are with her hair, not with her.
Correct. That when she says, you know, oh, I can't think of that. Dang it. I can't think of what it is. But it's so, like, that's a really subtle thing to catch. And I love when movies put things like that in it, where it's not just all served to you on a silver platter. I enjoyed Mother Gothel. I don't know. Does Mother Gothel come out at any of the parks?
Yes. She's been.
Is she a face character at Disneyland?
Yes. She's been at Oogie Boogie.
Of course she has. Because of course she has. Yeah.
Not last year, though.
No. But she's been a face character at Oogie Boogie.
Like, she just, a lot of times when it's a human villain, like, I will die on the hill that Frollo from Hunchback of Notre Dame is the scariest villain. He's terrifying, but I think he's terrifying because he's human and because a lot of what he does and says, like, anyway. I think she's a great villain. Pete, you go.
I would say she's a good villain. She's not, certainly not, like, top five or anything like that, but I think she's a very good villain. I kind of like that her superpower is parental guilt. Because, you know, that's something that a lot of mothers have, or the ability to do, is what this woman does with Rapunzel, that she uses guilt to kind of keep her in check. I think it's a fairly interesting villain. I said not one of the best ones, but is she good? She's a good villain. Yeah. Steve?
I agree. I think I put her up there with Lady Tremaine, sort of kind evil in a sort of like sort of a sly way, like not over the top like we see other villains. Like, I think it was like Kate was pointing out. It's those subtle things where you realize how evil she's being, or that, like, playing the guilt trip in a sly way.
The gaslighting, man, the gaslighting.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Derek?
No. Y'all are wrong. Nope. Y'all are wrong. She is nowhere. You said Pete not top five. She's not top 10. She might not even be top 15. I'm sorry.
I didn't say she was the best Disney villain. I just think she's a good Disney villain.
No, but to be a good villain, she has to be at least in the top half, would be considered a. And I just don't. I'm sorry. The guilt. She's a bus ticket would have solved all of this. I'm sorry. What little girl hasn't ever tried to cut her own hair? And
I did so.
And so, and I mean, I'm not exactly one to talk at the moment, but it's just the whole why she holds her, and that.
So the plot hole in this movie for you is that why didn't Rapunzel ever cut her own hair?
No. The plot hole is why. Well, I also think this all could have been solved the other direction if she lied to her about when her birthday was.
Well, yeah, I always thought that too. Oh, yeah. Right?
But no, Mother Gothel, yes, she is. She's got some good lines. The song's okay. But she's not. If I think of a Disney villain, she does not come to mind at all.
Really?
No, uh-uh. You can't. I mean, I can't put her up there with Captain Hook and Maleficent and the.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Can't put her up there with the.
Scar. Ursula beats her.
Oh, I mean, we could go on with a list
But they're different. But everyone that you named, for the most part, it's different to me, because Mother Gothel, like, Ursula is an octopus. Like, she oozes evil. And, like, Maleficent, like, when you look at them, you're like, oh, that's definitely the villain. Whereas Mother Gothel is almost more of a Hans from Frozen type of villain, where it's not
Wait, Hans is the bad guy?
And see, I would argue, Kate, no. I mean, Mother Gothel, they make very obvious that she is the villain from the very beginning.
See, I disagree.
It is obvious that her holding her hostage and not wanting her to leave.
Yeah, she kidnaps her at the beginning of the movie as a child.
Oh, well, yeah.
Pretty bad.
Yeah, but it's, I don't know. I
apparently kidnapping's not enough to make a villain in Kate's world. So,
but it's, I don't know.
See, my argument would be, I mean, Derek's argument is she's not even top half villain. And I would agree with that, but I don't think that makes her a bad villain. I just said she's not a great villain. Yeah. You know, I agree with you there, Derek. There's a lot of better villains in the Disney canon.
I don't know who I would put below her.
Wow. So you gave her a grade. Which grade would you give her? Like, I give Ursula like an A. Like strong A.
I'd probably give her about a 68.
Okay. So high D level.
High D.
Okay.
Yeah. I was gonna say she's a B minus villain.
I give her a C level.
Yeah.
I give her a C.
I was gonna say C plus, B minus.
I'm definitely not in a transfer grade. So, so now Pete brought up an interesting point on this one. I'm going to kind of let him take point on this, but and let our resident musical theater expert, and like her degree is literally in that, go last on this one and tell us why she thinks we're all wrong. But Pete, why are you questioning if Tangled is a musical?
So the reason I watched this movie and I had this argument a long time ago with my family that like there are essentially four songs in this movie. You get her I Wish song at the beginning and you get the villain song. You get the one, well, I guess there's two Wish songs because then you have I Have a Dream, which is another Wish song. And then you get the romance song and that's it.
I'm not counting a reprise.
About the lullaby that Mother Gothel sings.
That doesn't make it. Anyways, like, admittedly, the characters don't sing it, but Toy Story has three songs that are critical to the movie, and no one says, "Oh, Toy Story is a musical." So, is this really? Even though the characters do sing the songs, there's only really, as you say, four of them plus a reprise. Is this really a musical or is it just more of an adventure movie that has a couple songs in it? Because like Frozen has like 8 or 9 songs in it, right? That's a musical. Is this a musical?
I can go. I would. To me, a musical has have songs that advance the plot. That's what I view as a musical. And I've seen lots of like musicals. And as watching this, and there's lots of really not very much talking in between. There's lots of action, but there's not a lot of dialogue. And then a song comes. So I question it. But the more I thought about this, because I asked people today at work, I'm going to say, no, it's not a musical. It's just, it's not enough. It has some great songs, but it's not a musical. But then I think about Frozen and Lion King, what I consider their musical, even though they have songs.
Yeah, but Lion King has like 7 songs, 6, 7
Little
songs.
Little Mermaid has 7 plus a reprise.
Well, just you have, I mean, like, technically, yes, but...
But just because you have songs does not make it a musical.
I'm using Little Mermaid in my rebuttal, so go ahead.
Okay. I'm curious what Kate has to say, because she's in the major, but...
Especially because I'm sitting here looking at the list of the Little Mermaid songs. Okay. Mm-hmm. You've got Fathoms Below. Yes, it's the intro song.
Which hardly counts.
But it's an intro song. It is an intro.
But it hardly counts.
Okay. Daughters of Triton count.
Hardly counts.
Okay.
So if neither of those count, then Circle of Life doesn't count because they're about the same length.
No, that's not true. Because Circle of Life,
Fathoms Below was 1:41.
Right, that's the one they're on the boat and they're like singing on the boat and everything, and then it goes under the
Curious what Kate's going to say.
I mean, I want to know. Kate, do you want me to tell you how it's not a musical first, or do you
go
just want
it.
To? Well, because you don't really get much as he's going, musical songs should, well, it depends on, okay, it really depends on the time frame. If you're looking at Rodgers and Hammerstein, they really don't move the plot along that much. But it's not, it tried to be a musical. It really tried to be a musical, but there's not enough music. There's not.
And aren't two of the songs in like the first 10 minutes? So then.
Yeah. Okay. Not the first 10 minutes, because it takes 10 minutes until she's kidnapped. Because I actually looked at the time.
Oh, but, okay.
But yes, that like two of the songs are like back to like. You've got the morning wake up. When will my life begin?
When will my life begin? Like right at the beginning. And then Mother Gothel's song is right after that. And then the rest of the movie, there's two songs.
Well, and then the Snuggly Duckling song's like 10 minutes later.
Yeah.
So that's three songs in 30 minutes. And it's an hour 40 movie. It has a musical interlude, but that is not a full musical needs to have a song after the romance song. Yes, you had your 10:30 song, but you got to have some kind of a finale song. You got to have some kind of a song between Snuggly Duckling and I Have Seen the Light. You got to have more music.
Back to the Future has four songs in it also.
Yes, it does. Is that considered a musical? Kate?
Oh, boy, Kate. Go, Kate.
I'm ready, Kate.
Bring it.
You've changed my mind. It's not a musical.
Defend it.
Oh, come on.
So, in my opinion, I don't think that you could put this show on a stage without more songs and call it a musical. However, the songs that are in this movie push the storyline forward. So, the songs that do happen with When Will My Life Begin, Mother's Nose Dress, I've Got a Dream, and I See the Light. Those are the four main songs. All of those are intricate to the story. All of those are like when I think of Tangled, I think of When Will My Life Begin, and I think of When Will My Life Begin, and I think of I See the Light. And now, I would not call this a movie musical, but the music in it is very important, which in my mind puts it in a category where if this had no singing at all, this movie would flop. I think you see so much of Rapunzel's character in When Will My Life Begin. That is her entire, what's the word? Not exhibition. Is that the word I want?
Exposition.
Exposition. Thank you. You get her entire exposition of who she is in that song, followed so closely by the part when she does leave the tower and she like has a 30-second montage of what every female has gone through in her life. Every girl that I ever saw that saw this movie was like, I felt so seen in that moment when she was like, this is great. I'm going to die. What? This is the best decision ever. This was the worst decision ever. So while I agree with you all that four songs does not a musical make, I will concede that point. However, the four songs are extremely important to the storyline, if that makes sense.
And I'm going to actually throw something in with Kate. Lion King's only got five.
But they're all intricate to the storyline.
And that counts Circle of Life at the beginning. Lion King only has five. So I'm looking at it right now.
Are you counting Morning Report?
No, God, no.
Wasn't in the original.
Circle of Life, Can't Wait to Be King, Be Prepared, Hakuna Matata, Can You Feel the Love?
Feel the Love Tonight. All intricate to the storyline. So Tangled only had four.
I don't think you can see it without Morning Report anymore, though. I don't think there's a version out there. But
if you go see The Lion King on Broadway, it has He Lives in You. It has It has songs.
Yes.
So many songs. So do I think that Tangled, if they just took Tangled kind of like they did Frozen and threw it onto a stage? No, it wouldn't work. However, all four of these songs are intricately important to character development and the storyline.
So would one more song have changed your mind?
If they had added a song after I See the Light, maybe.
Or in between, let's say we have a Finn trying to make a decision song.
Yeah, Finn never really got his own song. Flynn,
yeah. Let's say Eugene has his decision song. Or we have a
song. Why did I just get, you said that, and I got the song Bet on It from High School Musical, and then I had Lost in the Woods from Frozen 2. Yeah, I think that would push it farther. And I'm not disagreeing that this isn't a...
It is not as a musical. It would not be considered a Broadway musical.
No.
No, I'm not asking if it's a Broadway musical. I'm asking if you put this on a shelf in a old school video store, can you put it on the musical shelf?
No.
No. I'm with Dirk on this one. No.
I don't think it would go on the musical shelf, but not for the reason that it's not a musical. It would go under animated films.
Well, there's a cop out.
Wow.
I don't know. This is hard because
you
those
put it on the animated film shelf.
Okay, so Kate, if you're going to put tags, because you know how you usually tag things, would you tag it as a musical?
Yes.
Oh, there you go.
Would it get hashtag musical?
Yes.
It's one of the few ones I would not.
I would not put it under a musical category, but I would tag it as a musical.
How many songs did Princess and the Frog have? Six.
It had the Down in New Orleans.
Okay.
Almost There. The Mama Odie song, the Evangeline song.
One, two.
The other three, Ray song.
Four, five.
Dr. Vassilier song.
Seven.
Six.
Then seven.
Six or seven.
Eight.
It says eight. So
okay, that one to me is definitely a musical. I brought this up because I do think it can be argued either way. The four songs that are in this movie are songs from a musical. There's no doubt about that. I mean, I made the comparison to Toy Story, but the songs in Toy Story are
not
background songs that are being played to give you the emotion. Whereas in this movie, there's songs being sung by the characters, which is what you expect from a musical. But so I'm not trying to be wishy-washy here. I lean towards more, it's not a musical, but I can see the argument either way because these are musical songs in this movie. The problem is
there's a gospel one that I know I've heard before.
Is Cinderella a musical then?
What?
Would you call Cinderella a musical?
No.
I don't think I would, and it probably has more songs than this.
It doesn't have very many songs at all.
Yes. I like what Pete says. This has musical-like songs. Because I Have a Dream is the big like dance number on a stage.
It's the showstopper, and it's
So
I think Cinderella has four, either four or five. Yeah. So anyway,
well, you got Sing Sweet Nightingale.
Oh,
Bibbidi Bobbidi Boo.
You've got A Dream Is a Wish. You've got So This Is Love.
And For This Is Love. So This Is Love. Yeah. So there's four, five. Oh, in the work song, there's five.
In the work song. Yeah, there's five. Okay. So,
and I'm kind of with you there. I'm not sure that's a musical.
A House Divided. This might be the only time that I've defended something that everybody else is not like.
It's very marginal. Like and you know, Derek brought up The Lion King, but The Lion King to me feels like a musical, and maybe it's because they turned it into a stage musical. So you kind of link that together,
right?
And see, but, I don't, because I've never seen it as a stage musical, and I don't usually think of it as a stage musical.
Derek.
I'm here in the middle of Kansas. I don't have a chance. Give me a break. So all we know how to do is, you know, beat Buffalo. So, okay.
No.
All right. Which is the best animal sidekick? And I'm going to say, okay, so which is the best animal sidekick? And then I've kind of got a follow-up question. But Kate, which one do you think is the best animal sidekick?
From any Disney animated movie?
No. In this movie.
Oh, Pascal. I love Pascal. I love Pascal. Pascal. Don't get me wrong. Maximus is great. Pascal. Pete, you go.
Oh, it's really tough because it's so hard when they do silent sidekicks, and they did two in this movie, and they both work really well. That's so tough. I'm gonna go Pascal. I'm gonna go Pascal as well, because just for him sticking his tongue in Flynn's ear when he's tied up, that that one moment just cracks me up every time. So Maximus, he's great too. Right. So I don't know. Steve?
I'm going with Maximus, but I'd argue he's not really a sidekick. He's his own little character, because he's quickly off on his own hunting Flynn. But it's Maximus. There's one scene, can't remember what he did, okay, but it made me laugh out loud.
Instead of sidekick, let's best animal character in this.
Maximus.
And Steve's right. So Maximus. The attitude that Maximus shows, genius of basically making him a dog as a horse, just he was what was funny in this movie for me. Pascal, okay, fine, maybe a little, but every time Maximus came out, I would put Maximus up there as one of the best animal sidekicks in Disney. I put him up there for me with Archimedes as far as the attitude. Archimedes from Sword in the Stone, who we all know is my spirit animal.
One thing I do love about Maximus is he has a turn at a certain part,
yeah,
where he's against Flynn for all this period of time, and then he kind of realizes that he's on the side of good, and he's like, "Okay, I'm going to help you."
And how you don't realize that until. You don't actually see the turn. It's when he gets captured, it's one of those, which makes you wonder where Maximus was during the betrayal scene. Because Maximus had to have seen it somewhere. So, as we always do, we do cups of pixie dust out of 5. What are we giving Tangled? Kate?
4. Easy.
Yeah, I'm with Kate. This is an easy 4 to me. It's definitely one that I don't tire of watching.
A 3 for me. A strong 3.
I'm going to give it a 3 just because it does hit my rewatchability level. Which for me, if it's a case of, we're going to watch Tango. Do you want to watch it with me? Yeah, I'll watch most of it with you. And that 2.5 to 3 is usually about that level. Is I have established that that's my split. Is 2.5 is decent, but I'm not going to watch it again. 3 is, yeah, okay, I'll watch it again. So I give it a 3. So
Tango. Yeah, and where I'm with you at that also, Derek, because you always talk about, if I came in at a certain point. This movie, there's parts of this movie that I really, really like. And so if this was something that was on in the background, and then I'd it's that scene, I'm going to stop and watch it for 10 minutes. And then I'd be like, okay, now I'm going to go off and do my thing. And then I come back, 10 minutes. Oh, now this section, that's the way I feel about it. It's why it doesn't reach higher than a 4 for me. There's parts of it that I really, really love, find very funny. I do really enjoy the music. What there is of it. So yeah, no, I get what you're saying.
And for me, it would be once Flynn shows up. Actually, no, let me be honest. It's once Maximus shows up. I think the comedy level steps up.
Yeah.
So,
okay, for sure.
Guys, no Disney Plus news this week, mainly because we did tape this in advance because of summer vacations and such. Next week, we're going to go even further back. We're going to watch Sleeping Beauty, which is a movie I can't believe we haven't actually watched yet.
Mm.
So, and yes, it's, you know, the original Prince Philip, Maleficent, Aurora, the fairies, everything. No, we are not going to then watch the Angelina Jolie Maleficent movie to burn somewhere. So,
well, let's skip right to Maleficent 2.
Oh, in related news, we're looking for a new
co-host. I've actually not seen either of the live action Maleficent movies.
I've seen just enough to go no. But guys, if you do have suggestions, we've got, you know, August, September coming up, and so please send us an email at plusplatoon@gmail.com, message us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, anywhere. We have new episodes come out every Thursday on YouTube and all the major podcasting services. For Kate, Pete, and Steve, Gina in the background, we will see everyone next week. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for watching this week's episode of the Plus Platoon. Be sure to subscribe to the Plus Platoon podcast to keep getting great content each week. Then head over to Apple Podcasts and leave those 5-star reviews, as they help make the Plus Platoon visible to even more Disney Plus fans. Also, go to YouTube and like and subscribe to the Plus Platoon channel, where you can watch all future episodes live. If you have a question for the Plus Platoon, please send us an email to plusplatoon@gmail.com or connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at Plus Platoon.
The Plus Platoon is a Disney Plus fan podcast and is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company or the Disney Plus streaming service. All opinions expressed on the show are solely those of the individual hosts and in no way reflect the views of the Walt Disney Company.
Thanks for watching, and be sure to stay tuned for next week's episode, because the Plus Platoon is to be continued.